Hey, Walt, how are you?
You know what? I'm just fine, Big Daddy, and this sounds a lot better. I thought for a minute you might think I might not have paid my phone bill.
No, I know. You could afford it. You've been in a rock and roll group that's only been around for like 5 decades.
Well, I've kept a couple nickels, and the woman that's put up with me for over 45 years has made sure that we've saved a few.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Big Daddy program, and our guest today is Walt Parazider of the group Chicago. Now, it is Parazider, is it not?
It's Parazider.
You know, I've seen it in print about a million times in my life, and never had the opportunity to talk to you, so it's very nice to meet you, Walt.
You know what? The pleasure's all mine, and we're talking about our favorite subject, music, here, Big Daddy, so I'm at your disposal, and you know what? It's always nice to have a first.
You're a member of the rock and roll band with horns, and you're a horn player, so congratulations.
That's right. You know, and figuring that we started this darn thing, we're going to get our 2 cents in and horn in on it, and I hate to use that, but what can I say? It's the truth, and gosh, we've been lucky for 45 years to have a job constantly, and not just 2 or 3 gigs a year, but many all the time. And that's thanks to you and all the people that put the music on the airwaves, and then the people that are listening to us right now. I just want to say thank you from the bottom of Chicago's musical heart that you allow us to do something that we love to do for all this while. And hey, listen, we're going to party on that Thursday the 28th at the Orpheum Theater, and we haven't been in the area in a while, so we're going to have a great time.
We're talking with Walt Parazider, of course, with the supergroup Chicago coming to Sioux City here on the 28th. Let's go way back, if it's all right, Walt.
It's fine with me. I don't have rock and roll Alzheimer's yet, Big Daddy.
You guys got going back in the late 60s. Was it just a bunch of college guys getting together? Is that how this whole thing started?
Well, you know, I was in a band with a couple of fellas, Terry Kath and our drummer, and I thought, you know, what we were doing was okay. You know, it was helping pay the rent and all of that stuff, and you know, getting ready for college and all that stuff. Since you had mentioned that about your son, and I thought, you know what, I really always enjoyed James Brown, you know, Sam and Dave, Wilson Pickett, and all the R&B stuff. But I thought, what if I put them together band with where the horns are an integral part of the music, and I don't say this in any demeaning way, because we played with the Godfather of Soul more than a few times, and the bop-bop-bop-bops are terrific things that he thought of, but we thought let's make the horn section a melodic part interwoven into the fabric of the music. And you know, we started out in clubs and did cover things and played a lot of R&B and all of that stuff, but I got together just the best guys I could possibly find in Chicago, and 4 of those best guys are still here: Lee Locklane on trumpet, Jimmy Panko on trombone, and Robert Lamb on keyboards, and all 3 of the fellas write and arrange and all of that. And that's 4 out of 6 of the originals that sat in my apartment on February 15th, 1967, shook hands, had a shot of Who Hit John, and said, "Here's, we'll make this a handshake. Anybody wants out of it, that's the way you get out. But let's make the best band we can." And I said, "Let's make the Beatles with horns."
We're talking with Walt Parazider of Chicago. Walt, I got to say, I'm a big fan. You've been around for a long time. Is it true that you started out as the Chicago Transit Authority? Is it true that the Chicago Transit Authority was going to sue you guys?
Well, there was some talk about it, you know, because they had the name first. I'm going to go back one step before that. We had a fellow that was a good friend of ours name the group, and the name was, before Chicago Transit Authority, was the big thing. And he used to say in his Chicago accent, he says, "You know, right now, back here in 67, the word is thing, the buzzword is thing. There's a lot, there's 6 of you guys at the time." We had 6 before we added Peter Cetera. And he says, "Since there's a lot of you, we should call you the big thing." And we, you know, we kicked that name around. Then we got to the CTA, and honestly, there was some kind of flap about it. You know, we really didn't hear a whole heck of a lot about it. Our manager did, I know, and stuff like that. But you know, the wildest thing what happened there, Big Daddy, was that at the end of the, I wouldn't even call it a brouhaha, because it never came to anything other than the people from the CTA questioning this. They used "Does anybody really know what time it is?" as one of their promo songs. And I don't know, we've checked to make sure that they paid publishing and royalties on it. So, you know, it all turned out all right. Well, you know, I thank you for that. There's a little story there. A couple of years ago, we were playing in New Jersey in front of about 15,000 people. And I look at the front of the stage, and I think we were playing Does Anybody Really Know What Time It Is? And this kid was about 15 years old. Now, you know that his parents, well, you know, he wasn't a twinkle in the eye of his parents, and maybe the grandparents, they weren't even thinking about having his dad or whatever, you know, with having turned a couple generations, which we've been fortunate to have happen. But I was so curious that here the music is pounded away, and I thought, I just walked up to the front of the stage, and there was a little break in the tune, and I said, dude, how do you know this music? And he says, well, you know, my parents had some of the stuff, and, you know, my older brother and everything. Then I found out that she had newer stuff and all that stuff. And even, he says, even the stuff like this tune right here, he said, I like it. I love all of it. And so I high-fived him, and I says, see you next year. Thanks.
That's great.
And, you know, it has stood the test of time. And, you know, people come back every year. And, you know, we're thankful they do. But, you know, I'll tell you one thing. We're not in the greatest of economic times. If we figure there's disposable income that people want to spend, you're spending a couple of hours forgetting about all the this and that's that are going on out there. And we all know what they are and all that stuff. That we're going to give you 2 hours of music that you're going to be, you know what? You're going to get lost in it and have a good time, and people are going to go away, and we see smiles on people's faces, and that, to me, is bigger than anything else. And, you know, we're going to do this till we get it right, Big Daddy, and may we never.
And have you ever played the Orpheum before here in Sioux City? You've played every venue in the world.
I'm trying to think about that, and I'm usually one that remembers just about every gig we've ever played. It's a savant thing for sure. When I think of the Orpheum Theater, I think of vaudeville and those days, and we played just about all of those theaters. So I'm thinking we probably could have. If we haven't, you know, the thing that we like to do before we're going out with the Doobies this summer and for about the fifth time, and we just enjoy doing that, and that, you know, that'll be the bigger concerts, you know, with bigger audiences. But what we like to do a lot is to do the theaters because they're intimate, and you know what, I can just lean over into the first and second row and say, hey, how we doing, what do you want to hear, you know, and it's more intimate. And so we've played the other Orpheum theaters in the country, so we're looking forward to it just because of what I just said. It's a little more intimate, and the guys, we don't agree on everything because we're all different people and everything, but we all sort of agree on the fact that we just can get up there and we're right in people's faces, and we can enjoy talking to them, or just really, you know, reach them, because it's an intimate type of surrounding.
Well, I've seen you guys on a number of occasions, and most of them are outdoors, so I'm very much looking forward to hearing you in this kind of a setting. I remember when Bonnie Raitt played the Orpheum Theater here in Sioux City. She looks back at her band, and she says, could you bring out that acoustic that I have in the back? And he brought out an acoustic, and she goes, you know what, we never do this song in concert, but the sound in here is so good. She says, I'm going to give this one a try. So it's got to be a pretty good performer's venue from everything that I've heard. So,
well, she's just a great lady. We know her, and a quite a fine musician. And that's what I'd have to say about those Orpheum theaters. They had great sound because, you know, back in the day, maybe there wasn't amplification in the place and everything. And so it had a sound, had a carry, and it had a carry in a good way. And I found out that those theaters have really do what Bonnie observed there, and when she pulled out her acoustic, they sound really great. And you know, I think there's probably not a bad seat in the whole place.
We're talking with Walt Parizader, one of the founding members of the group Chicago, and we're going to play some Chicago music and come back with more interview. Thank you very much for listening to the Big Daddy program. We'll be right back. Hey, Walt, we're looking forward to having you guys come to town. I want to bring up something, and you just cut me off if I'm getting off on a wrong path here, but I was a big fan back in the early days, and it would be in, what, the late 70s that you lost one of your members. I'm talking about Terry Kath.
Yes.
I just wanted to ask you this because I had always heard that he was with some people partying or something, and he looks at one of the guys and says, hey, don't worry, guys, this isn't even loaded, see? And he shot himself. Is that how it went down? Is this Walt?
That was one of the freakiest things that has ever happened.
Oh, that's all right, man. Hey, I just wanted to touch base with you. And as I mentioned, if I'm going someplace I shouldn't, please.
No, you know
stop
what?
Me.
You weren't. But the wildest thing is, you know, I'm going to tell you something about Terry Kath. He was a prankster, even when we went to, at his funeral. There's a story there that all of a sudden the alarms went off in my house, and the person that was overlooking our house that day and watching our kids called out a guy from the burglar alarm system, and they could not shut off the burglar alarm that day. So I got to tell you, I think that his ears were ringing when that happened. The phone just cut out here, and I just wanted to call you back and just say, hey, I'm on with the story here, but that was the weirdest thing that happened, that you asked that question, because you know, I don't mind clearing that up. It was a devastating thing that happened, but it wasn't a party. He happened to be sitting around with one of our roadies, and he was a gun enthusiast, and he was cleaning a gun, and you know, the fellow that was sitting there says, you know, I feel a little uneasy that you're messing with the guns, you know. And he says, well, I'm just cleaning them and everything. And he says, don't worry about it. And he says, look, if this one isn't loaded. And unfortunately, it was. And that's what happened.
Pretty tough on you guys. I heard, and again,
you know,
correct, these are all...
The whole thing of the phone cutting out, I wanted to call you back. I didn't want you to think that I was dodging any question. I really, you know, he was a friend to me. We were teenagers, and we took solos off of records. He would take guitar solos off of George Benson when he was playing with a group, and I'd take saxophone solos off of different tenor players, and we grew up in the business together, and it was a devastating thing. We thought maybe this was a sign that maybe that, you know, we had tremendous success up to that point. Maybe this was a point where we were supposed to stop. You know, we didn't know, but people like Doc Severinsen from The Tonight Show, we got just tons of letters of people saying you have to go on. You know, Terry. If, you know, Terry would want you to go on, and the band has got much more music in it. And that's what Doc Severinsen said. He says, "I'm going to tell you a selfish thing. You're real upset and in deep grief right now." He says, "But you know what? All of us musicians and all of the fans out there that enjoy the music, you have to go on. Just remember that somewhere along the way." And you know what? I'm glad we did, because you know, if it was me, I certainly wouldn't want something to end for the rest of my pals because something unfortunate happened. So, you know, I'm glad that we are talking here, and that's the straight scoop on what went on there. And I got to tell you, that wasn't my Bell intervening. That was probably Terry Kath messing with me. What can I tell you?
Yeah, and then Doc Severin trying to keep you guys together because, well, that's, you know, being a horn player and everything.
Well, you know what? Something happened there. I don't know what it was, but I'm glad we were able to clear that up. And I thought you put it rather delicately. And there was so many darn stories about that if you ask any of the originals, you'd get the same story out of all of us there. Just because talk is cheap, and the truth is real, and it's real easy to remember the truth, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, I'm so excited to hear you guys. I've been a fan for years, and Walt, I appreciate you spending time with us on the Big Daddy Show today, and we're sure looking forward to seeing you guys on the 28th. Bring your A game, my friend.
You know what? We're going to bring the A plus game for you folks, because we, like I said, we haven't been in that area in a while, and I'm going to tell all the guys, like my dad would say, we're going to put clean shirts on for you, Big Daddy.
Attaboy, attaboy.
But, you know, we're going to have a good time, and you know, I'm looking forward to putting a face to the voice.
I look forward to meeting you as well, Walt, and thanks for spending time. And you take care of yourself. Make sure you get here safe.
You know what? That is really appreciated with all the traveling we do. Just tell your son, have fun with it, and, you know, practice every day. It doesn't hurt. I'm going to do that right now, to tell you the truth.